58th anniversary of Arunachala Ashrama, Part 4. A center for daily practice is established in Nova Scotia. Continued from the March-April issue. In 1972, Arunachala Ashrama branched out into Canada. Even now, understandably, we are asked, why did you go all the way up to Nova Scotia to open a country ashram? Couldn't you have found a place nearer to New York City? This question will be easier to answer if we explain a little more detail about the founder of Arunachala Ashrama, Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavat. Bhagavat had a dream of a country ashram dedicated to the practice of the teachings of Sri Ramana Maharshi, where people from Wall Street can sit on the grass. And certainly, he did wish that the country ashram be near New York City to make it easier for seekers of the metropolitan area to visit. But how did he go about fulfilling this dream? Much as he did in all other matters, he fixed his mind and heart on Ramana Bhagavan, surrendered at his lotus feet, and waited for him to bring someone to the ashram who would make it happen. We should keep in mind that by 1970, there was a deluge of yogis, teachers, and spiritual masters flooding into the USA, making New York City their first stop. And also, at that time, masses of disillusioned youth traversed the country looking for alternative lifestyles to those of their parents. The spiritual teachers who arrived in America made disciples and opened ashrams and spiritual centers around the country that served as a haven for a good number of these youth who were often labeled hippies. In contrast to all these famous bearded yogis in robes that attracted thousands was this penniless villager called Bhagavat, a married man who offered no initiation, no secret mantra, had no disciples, possessed absolutely no skills for organization, and who acted purely on intuition, calling himself a servant, doorman, and doormat of the tiniest abode of his master, Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi. On top of this, the guru of Arunachala Ashrama, Sri Ramana Maharshi, had been interred 20 years earlier. Nevertheless, the upsurge of Bhagavat's inner overwhelming experience of the presence of Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi in his heart constantly inspired him to shout from the highest tower, proclaim to every corner of the earth the glory and majesty of my guru, Arunachala Shiva Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi Dakshinamurti. But how was he to do it? Who was there to listen? None. So he resorted to the confines of his Hermes 3000 typewriter to express his aspirations and experience, and thousands upon thousands of pages of prayer manuscripts poured out. By 1970 or 1971, gradually, a few serene seekers began to hear his call, frequent the ashram, and receive a vibrant spark of inspiration to one pointedly pursue the path taught and fearlessly demonstrated by Sri Ramana. Every evening, the ashram resounded with chanting, followed by deep, silent meditation. Bhagavat would have already prepared a dinner to serve the devotees after the meditation. These meals, which consisted mostly of rice, dal, and potatoes cooked in his own unique village style, were sometimes memorable to the unwary visitor who had no knowledge of Bhagavat's fondness for chili. It was during these after-dinner meetings that devotees came to know of Bhagavat's desire to open a country ashram. And in answer to his prayers, David Sewell, a young professor from the Nova Scotia College of Art and Design, visited the ashram on East 6th Street in New York City during the summer of 1971. David told Bhagavat of the abundance of inexpensive farms and land available in this province of Canada. He offered to buy a property for the country ashram there. The land prices in Nova Scotia were only 20% of what it would cost within a 60-mile radius of New York City. A back-to-the-land movement had pushed property values up in the nearby countryside. And Bhagavat had no money anyhow. By 1971, John and Matthew Greenblatt, a recently married young couple, had already become dedicated to Bhagavan and the New York ashram. They were also taken with Bhagavat's dream of living a dedicated life of spiritual practice and service in a country setting. As soon as they heard of this offer in Nova Scotia, they set off in their Volkswagen Beetle, a wedding gift, to meet David and establish a retreat for Arunachala Ashram in Nova Scotia. That was in September of 1971. Providentially, by the time the Greenblatts arrived in Nova Scotia and met with David Sewell, his circumstances had changed. Disappointed but not deterred, the Greenblatts decided to go out in search of a property themselves, even though they had no means to purchase one. John and Matthew had the conviction and faith that Bhagavan had brought them all the way up there for a reason. So, from farm to farm, house to house, they worked their way through the province, inquiring about farms for sale from the friendliest and gentlest people they had ever met. Eventually, the search was narrowed down to the historical, idyllic Annapolis Valley. And after several days of search, they found themselves returning to the home of a kind elderly couple who lived on a 130-acre farm, nestled up close to the slopes of the North Mountain. This kindly couple were the Taylors, who in due course revealed to our pilgrims that, in fact, they themselves had been thinking about selling their farm and moving into town. Won over by the Taylors' kindness and the potential that they saw in their farm as a country ashram, a price was settled upon and an agreement drawn up and signed. This was a pure act of faith on the part of John and Matthew, for they did not possess nor did the ashram the means to purchase it. In March 1972, Bhagavath, John, Matthew and Dennis Hartle, who had become a resident of the New York ashram in November 1971, drove up to Nova Scotia to see the farm and make the final decision on its purchase. Nova Scotia was still cold with snow on the ground, but the warm hospitality of the Taylors and the other residents they met brightened and warmed their hearts. When gazing upon the hill behind the ashram, Bhagavad was amazed when he saw a steep rocky outcrop near the top. "Look there," he said excitedly. "It is right there on that cliff that I had the vision of Bhagavan standing looking down at me." This provided Bhagavath with the certitude that the Taylor farm was the place desired to become Sri Bhagavan's country ashram. Later, at that very same spot, a cave was discovered and was immediately christened Virupaksha Cave. By April of 1972, the required funds were somehow collected and this farm of 130 acres along with its 60-foot barn and large house was purchased in the name of Arunachala Ashrama, Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi Center for $15,000. That may not sound like much money these days, but at that time, when the few devotees of the ashram possessed nothing but their faith as collateral towards the fulfillment of a noble dream, its purchase appeared to them as nothing short of a manifestation of His divine will in their lives. That very same month, Dennis, John, and Matthew moved into the new country Arunachala Ashram in Canada. The house had been neglected. The barn had holes in its roof. The landscape around the buildings was eroded. Yet none of these flaws could dampen the enthusiasm of these few sadhakas. Having traversed the world in search of a safe harbor in which to drop their anchors and decide their lives to the ideal that flooded their hearts with joy, nothing outwardly could slow their march to the inner sanctuary of peace and happiness. Their outer activity was now in perfect harmony with their inner spiritual aspirations, which they understood to be the only true purpose of human existence. This filled their hearts with joy and their bodies with energy and purpose. They were building a home for the children of their guru, Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi, who had said, "By serving my devotees, you are serving me." And they experienced His guiding presence at every turn, leading them on to rest forever in a final state of pure awareness and joy. Now, to return to the question posed in the first paragraph, why did you go all the way up to Nova Scotia to open a country ashram? After the ashramites had settled into their new home, the advantages of a country ashram in Nova Scotia became increasingly clear. Many youth of the counterculture movement of the late 1960s and early 70s had begun to question the focus on fulfillment in life through material gain. Among them were young people who, along the way, had lost sight of the value of discipline, hard work and dedication devoted to an ideal. They would float from one commune to another, or from one ashram to another. To take the trouble to travel all the way up to Nova Scotia, a certain amount of sincerity and genuine interest in the ideals of Arunachala Ashrama was required. Consequently, only the most earnest of seekers visited the Nova Scotia Ashram, ensuring that the ashram thus remained an oasis of deep peace and harmony. Also, anyone who visits the pristine province of Nova Scotia, Canada, immediately realizes how special and unspoiled the land and its people are. The unpolluted lakes and streams, the uninhabited natural Atlantic coastline, never far from wherever one may be, the open fields, forests, farms, and the softly rolling hills of the Annapolis Valley themselves are a healing balm for the ills of a restless mind. As one dives ever deeper into the heart of Bhagavan Ramana's teachings, life at the Nova Scotia Ashram shines radiantly in the vast dark sky of human existence. Those who visit the ashram with a sincere desire to deepen their experience of the divine presence both within and without can testify to this fact. Continued in the September-October 2018 issue.